this time of year, I'm usually busy speaking in different yeshivas. There are not too many courageous ones that would invite me to speak there. But there are a few that do. So I just want to give you some kind of a taste of what it is that I tell to these young, unsuspecting students who come here to learn for a year or two from the United States of America. I think, of course, the message that I try to give over to them is an important message, but they're not going to get it in too many places. We have these sheets in front of you. I want to begin with reading part of the text that appears on the front side. It's a selection from the Sharei Tshuva L'Nachem Yonah. Rabbi Yonah was one of the Rishonim, wrote a classic text called Sharei Tshuva, the Gates of Repentance. And he says the following: the Da, you should know. And by the way, the English translation, this immediately be lowered. The Da ki ha-ma'alot ha-yonot nizkenu lanu b'mitzvot aseh. You should know that the highest virtues, what Torah sees as the highest virtues, the kind of characteristics and personalities that a person should acquire and make part of himself, all of these were transmitted to man via the means, the bones of the mitzvah aseh. God made the great values, he turned them into positive commandments. By virtue of the fact that they become positive commandments, and of course you know that there are good chances that the Jew is going to adopt them. This is the Dar, ki ha-ma'alot ha-elyonot nisgenu lanu b'mitzvot aseh. The highest virtues have been transmitted through positive commandments, kimo. And he gives a number of examples. Ma'alot ha-bechira, the fact that man has free will and choice. This is something that defines the very greatness and majesty of man himself. And so there's a mitzvah. You know what the mitzvah is? She'ne'emar, as it says, u'bocharto b'chayim, choose life. You have free will, use it, and use your free will well. U'ma'alot Talmud Torah, the study of Torah. Study of Torah is certainly a very great virtue. So this virtue becomes a mitzvah aseh, a positive commandment. She'ne'emar, as it says, the Dikarto Pom, you should speak in them in the words of Torah. Umarok lechet darkei Hashem, there's certainly no question about it, that walking in the footsteps of God, emulating and following Him is certainly a great virtue, and therefore it says, V'ho'ako b'drohom, we shall go in His ways. Umarok shleimut ha-bitachon, and the great virtue of real trust in our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shemena, as it says, this is in Yitzhak, I say, Tomim Tihye, Im Hashem Lokecha, you shall be full and complete in your trust of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. U'ma'alot Hidbonein B'Gidulat Hashem. There is also great virtue in pondering, meditating, thinking about the greatness of God. And this too became a mitzvah, was made into a mitzvah of the Shenema, as it says, the Dato Hayom, the Hashevoto Lavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav king, God is God, and there is none like it. Like him. And David said, Hashem Shomai Vishiv, all the other God looked from the heavens down upon man. The other Yeshima still to see the sovereign real intelligence who is the Reish HaElokim, who seeks to understand and recognize the greatness of God. I'm reading this paragraph of the Shari Tshuva only for what comes next. Not that what was already said was not terribly important. Well, of course it's important. The next few lines. Umalot Yichdot Hasadat V'Hibon Abraham. The great virtue of remembering the kindness that he did for us, to keep bonein b'hem, and to think, to meditate, to ponder the great kindness that he has done for us. Shenema, as it says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Zachar to Kohadera, remember the whole road that you traveled. God took you out of Egypt. There were a lot of difficult times, there were obstacles to overcome, there were problems to be solved, and he took you through that whole process from beginning to end. And also it says, V'yodatlon l'vavetu, you should know your heart, ki kasher yaseh ishet b'no asher l'kechom yaseko. As a man chastises his son, so God chastises you, which means that when we study Jewish history, which is replete and full of Chazdei Hashem, the great acts of God's loving kindness, we have to understand that sometimes even our suffering is in order to prepare us for great things to come afterwards. So therefore he says, you have to think about that too. The David Amar, the Yitzbonenu Chazdei Hashem. David said, the Yitzbonenu Chazdei Hashem. Let them consider, let them think about the kindness of God. This pasuk, the Yitzbonenu Chazdei Hashem, is the last pasuk in chapter 107 in Tehillim. Chapter 107 in Tehillim is the one that opens up the special tefillah of Yom HaAtzmaut tonight. Those who daven Sfar say it every Friday. Mincha before Ashrei, you say Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Ve'Olam Chasdo. Yomru Ge'ulei Hashem Asher Ge'olam Yatzor Lehem. Those who have been redeemed by God from the hands of their oppressors, let them thank God for the great things that he did. Fact is that that chapter in Tehillim goes on to describe four crises in the life of a human being. The one who crosses a sea and finally arrives at port safely. The one who traverses a desert that's wrought with all sorts of dangers at every point and finally emerges unscathed and unharmed. One who was imprisoned and comes out, finally makes his way out of prison. The one who was ill and is now healed. These in halakha are called the arba'ah, the four that have to thank God. And in the time of the death of Midrash, they would have to bring a korban todah, a thanksgiving offering to God in the Beit HaMikdash. At first glance, one might think that this chapter of Tehillim, which is a long chapter, that this chapter in Tehillim is talking about the personal deliverance of the individual from any of these four crises. So one of the Rishonim, the Meiri, and the fact is that most of them, but not all of them, say that the chapter is not really talking about the crises that arise in the life of the individual. But this chapter is the beginning of David HaMelech's prayers for the ultimate redemption of the Jewish people. I'll say the first two psukim again. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, thank God for his greatness, Ki Olam Chasdo, his kindness forever. Yomru Geulei Hashem, let those who are redeemed by God say, which Geulei Hashem, which redeemed ones? Asher Olam Yatzor, that he redeemed them from the hands of an oppressor. Asher Olam Yatzor, Umei Aratzot Kibitzam, and he gathered them in from the nations, Umitzopon, Umiyam, from all four corners of the world, he brought them back. So the Meiri says, this is really a song of praise to God who redeems the Jewish people by bringing them back to Eretz Yisrael. And then the Bible goes on to explain that the four seemingly personal and individual areas of suffering that are mentioned. So he says, when Jews are going to come back, by the way, he wrote this about 600, 700 years before the Shoah, he says that when Jews ultimately are going to come back there, so they will have passed through seas, gone through deserts, have been ill and healed, have emerged from imprisonment. All four of them would in total describe the Jews of the Shoah coming to Eretz Yisrael. They had to cross not only cross the sea, but they had to, the mighty British armada, will all Englishmen please forgive me, understand, but what can we do? Their destroyers and their battleships were lined up in the territorial waters of Eretz Yisrael just to make sure that some little unseaworthy boat wouldn't, God forbid, make its way in here with our hateful eating, you understand? My, that was quite a jolly day in the history of Britain. But wait a minute, they thought that America is not Potter and Canada is not Potter, don't get me wrong, so on and on. It's just not just the British. Some of my really best friends are English. So the Mimi says that they will go through all of these, how right he was. How about that? A half a million Jews remained in the concentration camps and were freed from that frightening and terrifying prison. Those who were ill and had to be nursed back to life. And then, of course, then they had to cross the seas and the deserts in order to get it. So chapter 107 in Tehillim is the story of Kibbutz Golios, the Jews arriving back in Eretz Yisrael. The fact is that we discussed this in the Shir last year, but what I want to do this year is talk about the last pasuk in that chapter. The last pasuk in the chapter says the following: Mi chacham v'yishvar elad v'yidbonu chasdei Hashem. You don't have an machine. You just gonna have to listen to me and trust me that it says it there. Except for those who are able to find the chapter in Tehillim and see that it's there. Mi chacham v'yishvar elad. Who is the wise man that will be able to keep and preserve the memory of all of these events? V'yidbonu chasdei Hashem. And they will ponder, they're going to meditate, they're going to think about the great kindness of God. That happens to be the pasuk that was quoted by the Sha'arei Tshuva, and David says, V'yidbonu chasdei Hashem. You have to think and ponder and meditate the kindness of God. He was a genius, David HaMelech. You know what David HaMelech understood? That it's the very nature of man. I knew what the Rebbeinu did for me 50 years ago. I knew what did you do to me lately? So the Sha'arei Tshuva says that one of the great virtues of Yiddishkeit, that is a mitzvah aseh, is a positive commandment, is you have to think, you have to remember, you have to know. For me, it's always I don't know how to describe the experience, but it's a disturbing experience when you talk to young people who don't have a clue of Jewish history of the last 50, 60 years. Don't have a clue. And you have to start describing to them the state of the Jewish people in 45, 46, 47, 48, in order to give them some kind of an idea of what the establishment of the state meant. They've been born and live in a world in which there's a Jewish state. The worst thing is taking something for granted. Unbelievable. It's a curse. And therefore, David HaMelech says, Mi chacham, the Yishmarela, the one who's wise, is going to retain to retain the excitement, the joy, the thanksgiving for all the great things that God did for him and for us. And via Tvonenu, the only way it can be done is via Tvonenu Chazdei Hashem, when you think about Chazdei Hashem. Otherwise, it can be, oh no, Afagangene Shnei. Is that what they say? Last year's snow. That's a terrible thing. It's not the way it's supposed to be. But not the snow. It's a terrible thing. And certainly young people today, first of all, if nobody really told them, they don't know. The Russians don't know what it was like. I always tell them that only one way to come there is to soil for the first time. And that's by boat. Come by plane, they lost it all. They lost it all. I'm sorry to tell you, those of you who came by plane. So there was a time they come there, saw by plane. So they tell you, oh, they got caught, we didn't see Hope Art saying, oh, and then they stop playing, hey, baby, stop, all that kind of stuff. That was not so bad. Today, not like that, I don't know what they play today.
They don't play.
Yeah, you know, on the left side of the plane, you'll be able to see everything, you know. And before you know it, you're ready on the wrong way. Are you right for the first time in there? So, if I broke, I'll be okay. It was an unbelievable experience, I'm sure. Said that before, especially I was on a boat in 1955 in June. I think it was June 26th or 27th, 1955. And the start was ending with a whole entourage of his people around the boat. So you can imagine, as soon as we left, the last port before Haifa was Limassol in Cyprus. So after those who were getting off at Limassol got off, so you knew already that those who are on the boat, and this would be another overnight until you arrive in Haifa the next morning, you know it's all meat on the boat. That's when all heck broke loose. But the fish looking at the heart, if you're learning the Kareem and the Sweden and the Snags and Americans and Hungarians, but the fish looking at the heart, it was unbelievable. Everybody's arguing, everybody's fighting. Until. I think it was 5 to 5:30 in the morning. A deathly silence came over the boat. And everybody sort of naturally gravitated to the deck and found a place right up against the railing. And everybody was just looking to the direction of Eretz Yisrael for the first sighting of Eretz Yisrael. Kaidin was standing next to Miss Nagdin. Kaidin was standing next to Chilainen. I wouldn't even be a bit surprised if there was an Isha and a Geber standing next to each other. There was an absolute silence on the boat. And then when we saw Haifa, I think everybody was crying. You know, they don't give you enough time for that when you come down by plane. Young people, of course, haven't been told the fact that there were hundreds of thousands of Jews that were waiting to come to our soil, had no place where to go. Here, most probably the kind of kid comes to the Yeshiva, he's already been 7 or 8 times with his parents, the Pesach of the Sukkot, and you know, they've been already in the Imbal, and in the Dan Panorama, and the Givain, who knows how many times the flag was sick of the plaza. They don't understand anything. They don't have the tools with which to understand Chazdei Hashem. They have to be given those tools, and those of us who thank God can remember it all. So we have to remind ourselves time and time again: be it Bolu Chazdei Hashem. It's a mitzvah. I talk to them about food rationing. They don't have a clue what food rationing is. They don't know what it means. Most probably it has something to do with calories versus food rationing. They don't have a clue. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, they were still rationing food, which is 55. Still on the list. I don't mind giving away my neighbors. I remember when it was rationing during the Second World War in the United States. We're talking about coffee and sugar. We're not talking about England. I thought England was there. We informed you how that and young people have to be given the tools and the means by which they can be Nitkonei Chazdesha. And it's amazing the extent to which by osmosis, when the people around them, they get such a negative kind of attitude for Eretz Yisrael. It's sick. It's a terrible, terrible shame. And one of the places that I spoke yesterday night, when the issue comes up about saying Hallel and Yom Ha'atzmaut, so I questioned if you tell your version, Alton Grew, I don't know, confidence nonsense. I said, do whatever you want. I couldn't care less. Do whatever you want. As long as you are Mitbonei B'Chasdei Hashem, as long as you realize that this is Chasdei Hashem, you don't want to say Hallel, don't say Hallel. Give me a break. I think you're doing a great deal. I think that if you can't say Hallel, they haven't really fulfilled the mitzvah of being the Mitbonei B'Chasdei Hashem. If you would truly realize the extent which was an unparalleled and unprecedented event, not only in Jewish history, but in world history, you understand a people, after an absence of 1900 years, returns to their ancestral home. Never happened and never will happen, and there is no event as great as that. And if you can't appreciate that, that's very bad. And if you have questions with us, with a bracha, without a bracha, I don't care. St. Philip, I couldn't care less. But they get such. A lot of people are going to have to pay for a lot of this negative attitude. Like, and the worst part about it is, if you're from, you have a negative attitude.
Yeah.
If I tell you to be with Bonein Bechazdei Hashem, and that this is a mitzvah Hashem, and that that's real from kind, no. No, that's not real. To recognize that the Rebbeim has done great things for us here, that's not wrong. But if you can say that, it's all nothing. And they're a bunch of Chilonim, and they're a bunch of traitor guys, then you're wrong. It's unbelievable. It's a Olam Hava. A world turned upside down. I think I once told you, over a period of years, I collected tapes of the various Majgichim. You see, they start pulling out all the Parshat speakers yesterday, today, and was probably on Wednesday as well. The one-year girls' programs, the one-year boys' programs. And I can tell you, just give you I can make up the speeches already myself. I know them so well. I'll never forget one fellow, head of a big institution in Haranov. I'm not going to tell you his initials. Anyway, they send them in order to tell the girls have to know, when the siren goes off at 11 o'clock, we're not going to stand up and stand. Or they let them know that tonight we're not going to celebrate Yom, and of course they'll use the ugly Yom HaTzomah, if you understand. Ugly. And they tell them exactly why. Now, the general approach is the following. General approach is, it's so bad here. How can you say, huh? What are you talking about? It's so terrible here. I remember One fell from the other so much I put the tape in my machine. My tape recorder was shaking from the vibrations. And he was crying, "Alan, it's so terrible here. It's so terrible here." Now each year, all you have to do is fill in what's terrible. Every year there's something you can find. And if you're stuck, you can always come up with little sharks. As this year, of course, you can come up with a Hamas. And then, of course, you can come up with a government with Shimri and the Maftar. We understand this is a Maftar showing Tsubhubat Tegel. This is the worst punishment for Kongresa. But I remember listening to a tape of a year where the beginning of the army of Russian immigrants, Russians commentary. So, do you understand? There are Russians who are going through garbage to find food. Apart from that, you're going to say, how? Every year you can find something wrong. But there's a classic tragic error that's being made over here. The tragic error is Vidboninu, Dabaranach was brilliant. Vidboninu, you know what you have to think of? Hasdei Hashem, what God has done for us. He gave us opportunities. What we do with it, that's a different story. If the Rebbeinu gave Shabbos to the Jewish people and those who don't keep Shabbos, is the sanctity of Shabbos diminished because of that? I often quote Rabbi Hutler's Zechatzadik Lebrach instead. You hit somebody over the head with a Sefer Torah. Does the Sefer Torah lose its sanctity? You poke somebody's eyes out with a pair of tefillin. The tefillin lose their sanctity. We have to be with Bonein L'chazdei Hashem. What God did for us. The problems that man has, or the problems that man makes, have absolutely nothing to do with Chazdei Hashem. The election gave us tremendous opportunities here. He did for our generation what he didn't do for 1900 years of Jews. And by the way, not necessarily because we are more worthy than all previous generations. It was clearly the cumulative zechuyot of all the generations that preceded us. And then came the moment in history when the Rebbeinu knew that we need we must have Eretz Yisrael. If God is still to survive, we need Eretz Yisrael. All right, somebody sent me a few years, I don't think I ever talked about it. Somebody sent me an email about a Rosh Yeshiva who was asked at a convention of Torah and Masorah by young principals who are out there in the field, how should they react and as far as should they deal with Yom HaTzmaot. So I have it on it, so it's, it goes into a tirade. Yom HaTzmaot is the greatest Chilul Hashem since the creation of the world. Since Priyas HaOlam, there has never been such a Chilul Hashem. What was the Chilul Hashem? They declared independence without the name of God in the Declaration of Independence. So first of all, it's wrong. First of all, it's wrong. If one of them wasn't compromised of Sunni Israel, that had nothing to do. That's not important. How do I view Shabbos? Do I view Shabbos through Torah eyes or through the eyes of the Mechal Shabbos? Through Torah eyes, the Rebbeinu gives a gift of Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. Hey, Igor, 1948. I'm supposed to see it as Chazdei Hashem because somebody else doesn't see it as Chazdei Hashem. Does that affect the way in which I'm supposed to see it? It's unbelievable. How can somebody say that was there? He was not with Bonein the Chazdei Hashem. Makes no difference to me how somebody else looks at it. Through what kind of terrible mistaken vision somebody else is it? I don't look at Torah that way. I don't look at the gift of Eretz Yisrael that way. I have a lot of Rachmanis. on these poor young yeshivish principals who had to go back to their communities over there. And if anybody ever said that, or anybody ever acted that way, it was most probably the destruction of Torah in that small town. What an intelligent person should have said is go back there and tell them that this is the greatest chesed Hashem since Priyas Allah. The greatest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for Klal Yisrael. In our days. That's what he's supposed to tell them. Such hatred. Such hatred. But it's absurd. It's more than that. It's not like hatred. It's absolutely absurd. And this passage is not strong from kind. This is super from kind. If you see it as Hezer Hashem, then you're a Tzinnis. And even worse, you can even be a Mizrachis. And that's probably the worst Mizrachis are the ones who try to cover it up by wearing a black kippah, so you shouldn't see what's going on under there. Alright, that's where I stand. David HaMelech was so on the mark when he said, V'yidbonenu chasdei Hashem. We have to take a look at the nature of the great deeds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And then we have to see how we take it further. I'm also fond of telling these yeshiva bachurim, they don't have a clue. I'm fond of telling them that when I came to learn here in 55 and 56, there was nothing to speak of over here in terms of a yeshiva world. You could count the number of yeshivas on one hand, and if there were enough yeshivas for another hand, they were yeshivas that didn't really count, that were so small and so insignificant. The greatest explosion of Torah learning in Jewish history took place in this Chilonisha, secular, socialist, communist Medina during the course of the past 40 years. And you know who funded most of it? They did. They did. Jews wouldn't have been able to survive without government funding. But wait, wait, listen to what they're saying now that the government is cutting it. Last Thursday night, I was at a bar mitzvah. Now, I know I've told you this often. I couldn't start up and I didn't say a word. I was sitting there quietly. I'm always an angular, quiet, laid out person. And here's this, this fellow comes over to me, and I think he has eight children coming hard, and he's wearing curls, and he's just supporting himself. So he says, up until now it's been okay between the coal and the amount of money you receive for every child. You know, if you have eight, nine children, it's 4,000 to 5,000 shekel a month. That's commodity also for a family. But now all of that with the Xavier's of Netanyahu, this is all the gonna go. You know, I'm getting into a fighting mood. I exploded in the house a few weeks ago. Jonathan Rosenblum, the chutzpah, the article that he wrote against the budget cuts was entitled, "In Every Generation They Rise Up Against Us." That's then. Hitler, Haman, Nebuchadnezzar, Paro, and Netanyahu. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Kids of Plotzka. So at least you're killing beings of Plotzka. I mean, that helps break the code. So anyway, here's this fellow who's telling me that what they're doing to us. And then he says, and he's an able fellow, really an able fellow. But you know, they drink them a cup. And they're doing it to us with such sinner, with such hatred to do it. It didn't take me a second. I went there for this poor guy. He didn't know I hit him. So what are you talking about? Every sector of this population is being hit. My old age pension, yes, I get an old age pension that has nearly something to absolute zero. I think it's about 500 or 600 shekels a month. How do you like that? They start getting old age pensions at 40 a year. I start dead end about 2 years ago. I ran to the sector of the country. Everybody's going to be hurting because of this. And you have the nerve to say they're doing it to us with sinner. Where's the Hakaras of Katov for all the years that they supported you? You know what I wonder? I wonder what happens when a Shver who's been supporting his son-in-law for 5 years, he says 5 years, and instead of learning after that, you come back and you're working in the Shmata business and he's got it. 5 years are up. So what is the father now? The father-in-law is Yahusha now. For 55 years, the government has been supporting Torah pretty much beyond the Chavah, and now they can't. And what happens if the Shmer promises 10 years cash, that's the money liquid for 10 years, and then he goes bankrupt? These things happen. So, what do you do? So you're a Yahusha Shmer? The big Shver sugar daddy just doesn't have the money that he used to have. That's all he just doesn't have. And what we hope is that he gets Hashem. Certainly, of course, now with the whole new Palestinian government, there's going to be peace, there's going to be all sorts of commerce taking place, and everything is going to be great. The money is going to come flowing again, and then they'll be able to. The Yitbonenu Harzdei Hashem is the mitzvah that play in our Torah according to the Shari Shubal Rabbeinu Yama. David HaMelech was a genius because he said, Mi Chochom. Do you understand? Something like this, you have to be a Chochom, a truly wise man, to know how to retain it, the Yishmaela. And the only way you can retain it is by the Yitbonenu Harzdei Hashem. You have to think about it, you have to meditate, you have to ponder. On the second side, well, I see one thing. If I start reading this, I'll tell you exactly. This is a famous Gemara at the end of Masechet Makot. Chances are, you must have been at 10 bar mitzvahs in the last few years, where the Bar Mitzvah boy made a seum on the Sefer Makkos, and he would read the Gemara at the end of the Sefer Makkos. And by the way, we may even elaborate on this yet next week, but basically, there are 2 points that I want to make out. The Gemara tells us 2 stories. Chach Ben Yisrael, Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, and others are walking with Rebbe Akiva. The first story is, you have the English translation, it's all there. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva were walking, and they saw a manifestation of the greatness of Rome. They heard the sounds of Malchus, so they began to cry, and Rabbi Akiva smiled. So they said to him, why are you smiling? So he said to them, and why are you crying? So they said to him, what do you mean why we are crying? Here, these evil people are living in peace, tranquility, and prosperity. And us, the house of God itself, is burned down to the ground in ashes, and we shouldn't cry. So he says to them, Rabbi Akiva responds by saying, that's precisely why I am smiling. Why am I smiling? And he says, a tal v'chomer, if this is how those who reject God live, you can be absolutely certain, tal v'chomer, that when God is going to reward the Jewish people who keep and believe in the name of God, oh boy, is our reward going to be a great deal more than all of this. Then it was fine. Second story. Rabbi Akiva is going with the wise men, and they come to Haratzofim. And at Haratzofim, they see the Mokom HaMikdash, they tear their garments. They come finally to the old city, and they are on their way up to Harabayit, and they see a fax coming out of the Kodesh HaKadosh in the Holy of Holies. And they begin to cry. And Rabbi Akiva is smiling. And the same conversation takes place. Why are you smiling? Why are you crying? So they say to him, what do you mean why we're crying? There's a very good reason why we're crying. The reason why we're crying is because the place about which it says that Hazor HaKorei Yumas, the one who's not a Kohen Gadol is going to come near to this place, will die because it is such awesome sanctity. And now faxes are coming out of the Kodesh HaKadosh hands that we shouldn't cry. So he says, that's why I am laughing. Why? Question is left, and smiling is most probably a better translation. So he says, because there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu says, I have two witnesses. Who are the two witnesses? Uriah HaKohen, Uriah, and Zechariah. And he asks, Uriah was a prophet at the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. Zechariah was one of the last prophets, and he prophesied when Jews returned to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. What do these two witnesses, so to speak, have to do with one another? So Rabbi Akiva tells them, Uriah is the one that prophesied that Yerushalayim is going to be ground into the dust. The Beit HaMikdash is going to be utterly and totally destroyed. Absolute total destruction. So Rabbi Akiva said, as long as I had not seen the complete fulfillment of that terrible prophecy of Uriah, I was not sure what the future held. But when I saw a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies, which means that what Uriah HaKohen, did you read Stu Price's article?
He was one of the heroes.
And I was thinking about him and his son Ari. I shared in comment a lot during these things. I knew Ari and Noel, of course. Good friends with still advice. Back to Rabbi Akiva. We need Rabbi Akiva now badly. Rabbi Akiva says, you know, Yeshayahu talked about two witnesses. One witness is Uriah. Uriah is one who prophesied that Yerushalayim would be destroyed utterly. Now that I saw this, that prophecy has been fulfilled completely, now I am certain that the prophecy of Zechariah will also be completely fulfilled. I have the great psukim in Zechariah on the first side. Psukim, but you have to learn these psukim, notice. Mar Hashem Tzvachot, so says God, Kinei Dimitziyam Kino Gedola, I have a great zealousness, the Chem of Gedola Kinei Tzilof of Tzion, and I am very angry in my zealousness about Tzion. Mar Hashem, so says God, Shakti El Tzion, I have returned to Tzion, the Shachanti, the Torah of Yerushalayim, and I will dwell in the midst of Yerushalayim. Then the Shachanti of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is going to be called Bir HaEmet, the City of Truth. Bahar Hashem, Tzvachot, Har HaKodesh, and the Mountain of the God of Hosts, the Holy Mountain. This is the next pasuk of the Nebuah of Zechariah that Rabbi Akiva is referring to. Kamar Hashem, Tzvachot, so says the God of Hosts, all the ancients of Canaan who came up to Chobot Yerushalayim, the old will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, the Ishmishan come to Yadom Yerov Yamin, and a man with his staff, his rod in his hand, because of his many days, the Chobot here in the streets of the city in Malu will be filled with boys and girls Mustafa Kinder over there playing in her industry. So the Akiva told Kaplan's, if the prophecy of destruction has been fulfilled in such a terrible way, I am certain that the prophecy of consolation will be equally fulfilled. The end of the Gemara is the Loshon Hazeh Amru. These are the words they said to him: Akiva Nihantanu, Akiva Nihantanu, Akiva, you have consoled us. Akiva, you have consoled us. There are two comments I want to make on the Gemara. One, I heard in a, I was talking with Rav Yaakov Shapiro last week. He's the son of Rav Avram Shapiro. He says, "Hakolam Yosef, Akivachav Vod Yaper." Oh, that's any great part. And he says, "Harish and Yomel, Hakavor." And I'll give the Chamiya Mar. He says, "After I tell you the book, I'll tell you the step." So he says, "We've learned this Gemara so often," but he asks a very nice question: why didn't the rabbis tell Rabbi Akiva after the first story, "Akiva Nichantanu, Akiva Nichantanu"? The first story when they saw the might and the majesty of Rome, and they begin to cry, he's laughing. And he says, "Listen, if this is what God does for those who transgress His will, oh boy, what He's going to do for us." They didn't say, "Akiva Nichantanu, Akiva Nichantanu." The second story, when he tells them about the Nebuah of Uriah, and then the great Nebuah of Zechariah, the elderly and the young men will be filling the streets of Yerushalayim, then they consoled him. And then they said, "Akiva, you have consoled us, Akiva, you have consoled us." So Rabbi Yaakov tells me the following. He says, in the first story, Rabbi Akiva told them a kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer is sort of something that emerges, you know, logically into himself. Now what happens to be that you can, if you're pointing something wrong with the kal v'chomer is meaningless. Now the fact is that a kal v'chomer can also be rejected. I can tell you that, listen, God doesn't expect much of the Romans, but He expects a great deal more of the Jewish people who stood at Sinai, whose parents were Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So how do you know that your kal v'chomer is correct? But when Rabbi Akiva quotes prophecy, Divrei HaNeviim Emes, the words of the prophets are true. When he reminds them of the prophecy of Zechariah, then they say to him, "Akiva Nichatan, Akiva Nichatan." And then, you know, if I just let my imagination go, what do you think would happen if Rabbi Akiva would be walking the streets of Yerushalayim today? I'm sure there are two versions. One version is, "Honey, that woman is not dressed as clear as if that guy is walking without a yarmulke." Jason Israeli fled so that you should help him obey his other. That's one version. You know what the real version is? That the Akiva would dance with joy if he would be safe to be in the streets of Yerushalayim today. Because you know what Rabbi Akiva would see? First of all, he would be with Ronein Chazdei Hashem, and he would be able to see clearly that the prophecy of Zechariah had been fulfilled in a way that even he could never have imagined. I think 125 years ago, there were 17,000 people living in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, I think, is over 600,000 today. It's the largest city in Eretz Yisrael. In 55, when I was here, I think there were about 100,000 people maximum. If you walk all of Yerushalayim from one end to the other, about 25 minutes. The furthest point out was Bayit Pagan. And Bayit Pagan was one street. One street. And then, of course, on the other, the furthest you can get was up the block over here, our grown in the middle, because the ugly wall that split the city in two was along Rehob Magilla with very ugly barbed wire on top of it. 25 minutes you could walk through the whole city. Down you got it. Rabbi Akiva, ha ha, boy, would he dance, would he dance the joy. So, that's the mitzvah say of Yidvonenu, that is an obligation of Yidvonenu Chazdei Hashem, and I think that obviously the mitzvah, that are considered one of the mitzvahs of Yom HaAtzmaut. And then, of course, and I'll say it very quickly, it's something that can take me an hour to I just make them aware, but of course in a pretty dramatic fashion, you know, and sometimes when I have a little selfish Maria, I know how to do it. Especially when I speak to Yeshiva Rav, I think the Rebbeinu is over my ear, sitting right over my shoulder, go give it to that guy, tell them. So I want them to know that the Tehillah is, yes?
Did you say tell us when
Rabbeinu was I thought I was, as I was driving in, I should have known. About 700 years ago, he was from Spain, 1700 years ago. I should have prepared for it. I thought you were going to ask me when the people live. That's very easy. Came in the south of Kerev, as I tell them, these three three major pillars. The pillars, in order to fully comprehend what is taking place over here, one has to ponder three ideas. Number one, the Ketan Gula, the revealed end of days, and we've talked about that over the years, where the Gemara says, and it's really possibly Yechezkel, that when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out its fruit in order to sustain a population, the Gemara says, "Ein lacha keitz mekula," he said, there is no greater revealed end of days than that. Eretz Yisrael will remain absolutely faithful to the Jewish people throughout history as long as we are not here on us. The land will simply not sustain a population. Eretz Yisrael began to give out its fruit as the time for Jews to return came. And we live it every day. Literally, we spoke so often about this, you know, every apple, every tomato, it's all Chazdei Hashem. Number two, of course, is the unprecedented kibbutz goyos that we are a part of, the ingathering of the exiles. Unprecedented, unparalleled, not only in all of Jewish history, but in the history of any nation on the face of this earth. Anybody who cannot see before their very eyes the fulfillment of so many prophecies is unbelievable. Now you have to be blind not to see Chazdei Hashem. And what's amazing is, a lot of blind people, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And as I say, the blindness, the imposed blindness, this is from God. And then there's the third pillar, and so I learned with the one group yesterday, Arashi and Yeshayahu, and there were a whole group that but Rashi couldn't have said that. Rashi doesn't mean that. Oh, it can't be. So I gave them homework. Go to anybody who wants to find out what Rashi is talking about. I'll read you one Rashi on one pasuk in Yeshayahu, and that will be the end of the shiur. Chapter 11, pasuk 11 in Yeshayahu. Chapter 11, pasuk 11. Not too difficult to remember that. The pasuk says the following, happens to be in the chapter that talks about Mashiach. It says, "The Holy Father Yom HaMoah, that day, Yosef Hashem Shemit Yotov, God is going to stretch out his hand for a second time, which note at Sha'ar Amo to acquire the remnants of his people, Asher Yishoer, those that will remain from Ashur, Mitzrayim, Patros, Kush, Elon, Shinar, Mechamah, the Yegam, places all over the world. God is going to go stretch out his hand for the second time. And he's going to bring them up. When is this second time? How many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael?
Three.
Days of Yom Kippur, the days of Ezra and Nehemiah for the second Beit HaMikdash, and our days. hysterical Jews return prayers about three times. Which one does Rashi mean? What does the passage mean when Yeshayahu says that God is going to acquire his people for a second time? There's no question about what the first is. The first is when they came in the days of Yeshua. Rashi wants to point out what's the second. So what would occur immediately to anybody? Shayness should be when Jews arrive back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. So Rashi says, no, that's not it. It's not the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's not what Yeshayahu means by shayness. Shayness, a second time, means a second time that will be precisely similar to the first. And Rashi says, what was it that was unique about the entry of the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael the first time around? That they were free of any enslavement to a foreign power. That was when they came out of Mitzrayim and came to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua. So Rashi says, therefore, the second time cannot be when they came in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, because Eretz Yisrael was a vassal state of the Persian Empire. And the second time is going to be like the first, independence. So when can the second time mean? Rashi is clearly saying, our entry to Eretz Yisrael. So do you understand what Rashi has done here? Rashi has said, in the name of God, that independence is a virtue. So they just grew up in. These poor kids were going crazy. They can't believe Rashi said it. Rashi must mean something else. So I told them, listen guys, do whatever you want. Anytime you come up with any other shot, you'll come and talk to me about it. And these are all American kids. Who didn't go to a Sakhma this Medish or to a Baba the High there? They went and created. And they picked up by osmosis this business. And we find it a great deal. Like the kid who went to a religious school that's in the process of sort of becoming more religious. The first way that he showed it is his negative attitude there. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Just wait 1 minute, and I'm just going to read the words of Rashi. It's a short Rashi. Rashi says, Shemi, a second time God will acquire the Jewish people, Kmo, Shekinon, Mitzrayim, as he acquired them from Egypt. Shaitaku, Latam, throughout the redemption was clear. May any sheep would. They were not a vassal state of any empire. I will go up by changing the redemption of the second day of Egypt. Eina minha minya. That doesn't count over here. That's not number two. Shadim Shubodim Horim with Koresh, because they were under the heel of Koresh, which leaves only one option. The only way you understand the Pasuk in Yeshayahu according to Rashi is Shemis is on a day. And when did it become Shemis? On a day called Hey Iyar, when this became an independent state. Rashi. Of course, when you learn Rashi, you have to have a tip for playing in the background and flags on the firm, because that's exactly what Rashi is saying.